the Justice Podcast with your hosts, Damber Wagner and Jacob Willis.
What's the deal, y'all? Welcome to episode 37. It's your girl, Just Living Baby.
And your boy, Jacob Willis. And you tuning into the Just Us Podcast.
And today, as y'all can see, we have two fine, talented, amazing West Coast artists, okay? Say your name and where you're from.
It's your boy, Big Spiffy Luciano. You know how I'm coming. I'm from that South Central Crenshaw district.
Okay.
Jason Cash. Carson Cash off Camp Ave. Carson in the house for sure, though.
Yes, I'm so glad to have y'all.
For real.
Like, it feels good. I like the vibe in here already.
We go back.
It feels good to be here, for sure.
But y'all don't know, me and Jason went to school together. Yeah, we didn't hang out or nothing, but we was at school together. We was cool as fuck, though.
I mean, you was a great hire, so you know what I mean.
Exactly. But cool. I'm a little old, it's okay.
Yeah. How was she in high school?
The same.
Loud.
That's why none of us surprised. She been funny like that. She had niggas coming back late to class, just listening to her, just being funny.
We was both a little popular. That was good times.
Yeah, so how you guys feeling today?
I'm cool. I can't complain.
Blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Blessed and highly favored. But how you feeling, Fred?
I'm great. Fantastic, magnificent.
Amazing.
Hello?
Top tier, top notch, above average, never basic.
All right.
So on this podcast, we all always start off with a mental health moment. Mm-hmm. We know that you both you've lost somebody to gun violence, your father, right, at the age of 12, and you've gotten shot. How do you push through tragedy? Even like, you know, the death of your father, that's something that is not easy to go through, mm-hmm. especially at such a young age. I just wanted to kind of touch base and ask you guys, like, how were you guys able to get through you guys' tragedies?
And keep on persevering.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I was 12, so it's like, I didn't really know then. Like, I knew, but I didn't know. So, like, family helped me get through that, like, you know, and just time.
Yeah.
Time. Spent a lot of time away from school after that. Like, I stopped going to school when that happened. I was in, like, the sixth grade. I went back to school in, like, the seventh.
Wow. Seventh grade.
Yeah, we missed a whole year. Like, he got killed, like, the beginning of that year. And we stopped going to school until school started again.
But I couldn't imagine, you know, being that young and losing somebody, then having to go back to school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It takes a while to process that and, like, really, like, oh, my God, this is my life now. How am I going to go to school?
How?
Situations
when everybody knowing and asking you about it.
And what's crazy about that part is when me and my little brother showed back up to school after that, and, you know, everybody was still going there. Everybody just went to the next grade. They was looking at us like they seen ghosts. Like, people didn't know what to say to us. Like, they was just there for us, like.
Right, they just showed up. They didn't. Okay.
Yeah. Me, shit, I didn't really have a choice. I was telling somebody the other day, like, going through the shit, how I went through it, you know, made me stronger than nobody, tougher than nobody. It's like, shit, I ain't had no choice. I remember, like, I didn't walk for, like, they didn't get me up to walk for, like, a week and a half. I was in a rehab center, and I'm like, I didn't want to eat because I couldn't get up and go to the bathroom. I was shitting in the bedpan, and they was, like, wiping me like that. The first time they did it, I remember crying in my bed, like, damn, like, feeling like less than a man. But the homie was like, man, you strong for that. I'm like, shit, if you don't have no choice but to be strong, like, what can you do? They didn't kill me. I was still here. So it was like, either I'm going to sit here and lay down and, you know, not try to recover or get back on my feet. Like, I remember even being in the ambulance. I just kept moving my feet. Like, you know, I knew I got hit. And the first bullet hit me in my stomach. So I knew I got hit. And I kept touching my teeth, trying to see if it was, like, blood in my mouth just from watching on TV and shit. So I was like, the whole thing, I just moving my feet and just trying to stay up. So made it past the first day, next day, I just kept trying to progress, man. And still, to this day, like, I don't have, like, I'm right-handed, but this arm go all the way up here. I don't have full range of motion because I dived behind my car, like, trying to, you know, when they were shooting, I was running, hit the ground, dislocated my shit. I had, like, a 7-8 hour surgery. They had to replace this shit with metal. Like, yeah. So I just learned daily just to keep pushing.
Say that, Mr. Cash.
Why you say you was checking for blood in your mouth?
Because internal bleeding. And I know I got shot.
I know in movies, when the blood come out the mouth, they
die. It's over with. Like, it only hit tissue. Like, it didn't hit nothing. Like, one of the bullets went through, cracked my pelvis in two spots. Like, I think it hit my tailbone or some shit like that. And I had a bullet, like, still in me. So for me, it was just like, damn, like, I remember the doctor saying, like, yo, like, you supposed to be gone. You lucky they had Walmart ammo, because if they had hollow points, like, that would have spread inside, you'd probably been over with. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think that's kind of to this day, like, when I get frustrated about not being able to do something I used to be able to do, mm-hmm. I just remember, like, damn, like, I could have been up out of here. I could have been in a wheelchair. I could have just been.
It's crazy how after all that, you were still in your right mind. Like, you knew, like, to check for blood, and you was like, that's crazy. I would have been in a panic, like, oh.
I called my mama. I called my brother. I told my brother from the scene. Like, I just did a show the other day. I was my big brother. I was saying, like, I called him from the scene. Like, hey, I just got shot. If I don't make it, I want you to know I love you. You know what I'm saying? Like, my ex.
What a call.
She told me where I went. She told me not to go. And I was like, I got this. I'm grown. Mm-hmm. But I called her back from the scene. Like, damn, like, call my mama. I just got shot. Like, you know, so I was very much up and aware.
Yeah, people go through trials and tribulations every day, but you survived death. How did you look at life differently?
Man, you know what? To be honest, you got to, like, find a new way every day, because, like, my biggest fear was, like, when I first got out the hospital and was moving around, was getting shot again. Because if anything happened, don't nobody know you just got shot or you healing. So just being outside, anything could go up. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So I think you don't just have to face, like, mortality to know that you could die, because we see it happen all the time. He learned that at 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody that you see every day can just be gone.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I think every day I just remember, though, like, this shit could really just be over with, you know?
Yeah, I'll take life for granted, because it's not promised.
For sure.
I'm human, though, so I struggle with it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't help it.
Right. Go ahead, girl.
You be preaching, huh?
Who, me?
You be preaching on the low?
Uh-uh.
Nah, it sound like you guys got some...
We're just anointed.
Yes, it sound like you got some anointment on you.
Yeah, Amber does too, though. Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead with the next topic.
Okay.
What are you looking at me?
Okay. So, when did y'all both discover I want to rap? This is what I'm going to do. We here. We outside. What's up? Putting my foot out there.
I was never one of the niggas that just woke up and wanted to rap. Like, I think I was, like, really born to do this.
Wow.
Because that was the first thing I knew how to do as a kid, just running around with a notepad, writing. Recording over my mama cassette tapes, getting whooped for that shit, like, and all because I want to hear myself on a beat. Like, I want to hear me. Like, I knew I had something special, like, in me. Like, I came out doing that. Like, I was a rapper. Like, I don't know how, I don't know why. I didn't just wake up like, oh, I want to rap, or, oh, got in the studio with the homies and I sound good on the mic and I'm a rapper for 2 weeks. Like, no, I've been doing this shit since birth, for real.
Like, for me, I grew up in the church. Like, my grandparents were preachers. So that's like your first stage, you know? So, like, playing the piano, playing the drums, doing all that type of stuff. But I really, like, started rapping because of Lil Bow Wow, for real. Like, I was in music, but, like, actual rapping, like, the girl I liked in school, like, she was a level Bow Wow. So I was like, damn, if I could be the kid rapper like Bow Wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it was like natural. So many different things like that happened that reinforced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, I want to say, like, Bow Wow is what let me know it was like possible seeing a kid that like mm-hmm. looked like us doing it. Like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
But like music, like I said, growing up in the church, being a preacher's grandkid, it's like you around music. You don't got to be able to sing. They're going to put you in the junior choir.
You ain't got a choice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you was working for TSA before, right?
That was my last job.
So how did you get put in the game? What?
How did you even know that?
I mean, what
coming on podcast? You think we don't know nothing about y'all?
I'm
you next.
Right. Yeah. Why you playing? Uh-huh.
But I mean, I've known you over a decade. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I went. Yeah. But yeah, that was my last job.
She told my nigga you was on the plane.
Yeah. My bad. I missed the question. What was it?
How did you get put in the game? Because aren't you signed? You with Atlantic?
Yeah, I'm signed
right?
to Atlantic. I look at this shit like a FedEx package. Like, you know, you can order a package and it'd be like the origin is here and then it arrived at sorting facility. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how my journey been. Like,
levels to this
you
shit.
Know, like, I'm from Carson, TDE, started in Carson. My first time on stage, Schoolboy Q pulled me out the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I grew up, like, my late teens and all that shit, like, just sowing seeds, mm-hmm. planting seeds. And my grandma used to tell me, like, if you faithful over a few things, the Lord will make you rule over many. So there was a lot of things that I used to do just with homies rapping, homies making beats and all type of shit like that. So going through this avenue, through that avenue, or whatever. But ultimately, again, from Carson and the homie, Demetrius Shipp Jr. played Tupac in All Eyes on Me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he had heard a song that I did called, what's funny?
I think I know him.
Oh, Meech, yeah.
He used to be on the bus.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, he came a long way. That nigga used to be on the bus, didn't he?
He did, for sure.
On
everything. But Meech played, I made a song called Carson in the House.
Mm-hmm.
It was produced by, I think I did this in 2016. And it was produced by Blast.
Mm.
At the time, Meech heard it. And he was like, man, I want, you know, tapped in with me. Like, his grandparents was preachers, too. Like, our grandparents used to fellowship together or whatever. But he pulled up to the studio. And bro had me go to this session with AD. So I pulled up on AD. AD one day just happened to have, the LA Leakers was there, Guap Dad, 4,000 was there. There was a bunch of people in there.
Oh, wow.
But AD was doing a verse for me because Meech asked him to do it. I had never met AD at this point.
AD from Compton?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. AD ended up putting me on every song he was doing that day. And there was a guy in the room who he was playing the songs back there. Like, who's this? So he like, that's bro. So he walk up to me, elbow me, like, plug up, play that shit. So I started playing shit, and there was a guy in the room, this dude named Kasten.
Mm-hmm.
He's a producer. He produced, a bunch of shit. But he heard me, and, man, I took my first label meeting like a month later with Capital, and he took me from Capital to Roc Nation. I got signed with 5,000 followers, like the old school way.
Shit.
Like just shit that they was hearing in the studio, seeing me freestyle on Instagram, jumping out my car, all type of shit like that. But that's why I say it's like that FedEx package, because even before Meech sent me with AD, you know what I mean? It was TDE shit. It was shit I was doing in the streets. It's shit me and Reason did. It's all these different things that was going on that was just a culmination of, you know, God just seeing fit for it to happen then.
Love.
So I got signed during the pandemic. I never had a meeting with Atlantic. To this day, I've never been to the New York office. It was like off emails.
Wow.
It just went through.
Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
We made it out
after all that happened. Okay.
Go ahead.
Spiffy, you are signed with Boosie.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
This nigga think everything, motherfucker.
I'm too much for him, you know?
Man, that came about, let's see. It started when I got a feature from him. When he came out here, I paid for a feature from him.
Really?
Like, I paid like $22,000.
For a feature from Boosie?
Yeah, well, the feature was 15, but I wanted the video. So that was an extra like $7,000, $6,000. Like,
shut up.
Investments.
Okay. So,
yeah, I believed in myself like 100%.
Wow.
Like 4 years, 5 years after I did the feature with him, I had put out a song called 21 Questions Freestyle by 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. Y'all know that. I freestyled to that shit and it went viral. And he ended up seeing it. 50 Cent posted it. Everybody was posting it. It was like a domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boosie ended up DMing me on Instagram on some random shit like, hey, call my phone real quick. Oop, I want to sign you. I ain't believe it or nothing. So I'm looking at the shit for a long time. Then I show my brother that was in the car with me. He was like, what the fuck? FaceTime that nigga from the Instagram. So I called him. Mm-hmm. Boom. And he like, man, I want to sign you. I want to... Come to Atlanta. I'm gonna fly you out here. I fuck with your music. You hard, nigga. You hard. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I'm the dead homies. I'm on the way. First flight smoking, nigga, went to fuck with Boosie Boo.
Okay.
That shit, it was Boosie, so.
And the rest was history.
Oh, it was history after that, for sure.
Right. I did see that Sexy Red, you opened up for Sexy Red.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did that come about? Because, you know, she's climbing the ladder right now. You was right there with her. Like, what's up?
Hey, at like 4 or 5 of them motherfuckers, though. I finished the tour off with her. It was crazy. I was at a fucking baby shower. I was at the homie baby shower. And I get a phone call like, hey, Sexy Red wants you to come perform at her show. I'm like, me? How? Like, or how? Like, I'm steady asking questions. They like, nigga, get ready and come to the shit tonight. So me, I go look on her Instagram. I'm like, she out here tonight? This for real? So I go look, and it showed that she was out here on the next day, on the 26th. It was the 25th. It didn't show that show on the flyer, but it was really a show that night. So I'm like, so I called my bro back. I'm like, man, say she out here tomorrow. They like, nigga, she have a show tonight. Nigga, she wants you to, you gonna come or not, nigga, because somebody else could do it. I'm like, shit, I'm about to get ready. I'm coming. So I ain't know how it really was. So I go pull up on him. We just chilling, sitting in front of his store. We just chilling. So I'm like, we just, time just going by. I'm like, damn, is this shit happening? Like, he was like, I end up calling by like 40, 50 niggas because I don't go out by myself. And we all just sitting there just waiting. And then he like, all right, come on. And we end up going. We pulling up like on Hollywood. And I just look up and it say Sexy Red sold out. And I'm like, oh, this she really
is
real. And it's sold out. So we get, we pull to the parking lot. We pull to the back where the artists and shit go. And I'm like, oh, this shit real. And then when I come out, her manager come out and get me and give me the pass with her picture on it and shit. And I had to put it on and get through the whole shit. Me and everybody I was with, we go through the little shit, and it was real shit. I'm up there waiting in the waiting room, waiting for her to bring me out. She ended up saying my name on the mic. I'm coming out.
Energy was crazy. You put on
energy
a good show.
Energy was crazy.
Yeah,
you know how to put on a good show, and so do you, Jason. You guys have this presence about you. When you come on, everybody got to pay attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And y'all demanding.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel a little sick. I think I need to see a doctor, because you was in the studio with Dr. Dre.
Yes, you were. We peeped that.
How does that come about? I want to know all about that. How was that?
And you were in the studio with Legend.
Right.
funny. Shit, man. I was in the studio one day. My manager, Fuzzy, he was telling me he wanted to introduce me to him, and he was on FaceTime with him. We in the studio, and he put me on FaceTime with him, and he was like, man, you know, I want to slap hands with you one of these days. I'm like, I'm tripping. I'm like, nigga, it's Dr. J. He was like, shit, matter of fact, today. He was like, pull up. And we went to that nigga house.
Wow.
And that shit was just, man, you know, growing up out here, it was just crazy to, you know what I mean, crazy to do. So, yeah, he took me over there. Shit, got to play some music for him. Got to write a song with him. Those like those things that people can't take from you. Like when you sit down and you think about your journey and things that you've done, it's like, man, you know, certain shit on your list, like you can't take that from me.
I saw the clip. You were pouring out your heart. You were sweating. Your head was back. You was really feeling it.
Oh yeah.
Every fiber in your being.
Yeah.
I felt it too. just by watching the camera.
It's because I played him one song, and he didn't react at all, like at all. And my manager was like, bro, read the room. So when I played the next song, he went to the speaker, he cut that shit all the way up, and he started giving me energy. So it like, you know, it just put a battery in my back. But
right,
that shit was a moment.
This is my thing. Y'all are so talented, and it's there. Oh. I feel like y'all kind of underrated. You know, and I just want to know why. Like, I don't see y'all on the forefront too much, but y'all like them niggas. So how do y'all feel about that?
Man, it's just quote niggas live by. If you good at something, you're going to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you great at something, they're going to tell you.
Mm.
You know, so like, I look at this shit like, I don't feel like I'm underrated. I don't feel like none of that shit. I'm just a little late to the party. But when I show up to the party, Pretty Ricky still gonna be playing.
Come on.
And I'm still gonna get a flow dance. Like, God's timing is different than my timing.
Right.
And I think it's things for me, like, that I had to get in line with my personal life that was hindering me, like, from my blessing that don't have nothing to do with other people. So it's like sometimes you don't even be in the position for God to bless you how God might wanna bless you.
I feel that.
So I'm gonna take accountability that some of the things that I might not have maximized on the moment the best that I could have, or, like, you seen the Dr. Dre video. I did that shit years ago and didn't put it out till years later.
Yeah.
You know, so some things, like, it might be me not making the most of certain shit or putting my time and my energy into shit that don't really serve the purpose. So comparison is a thief of joy. So I could look at what somebody else got and not appreciate, you know what I mean, not appreciate what I have, you know. So it's just part of the process, part of the journey.
What about you, Spiffy?
I just feel like, you know, it take time for the real.
On everything.
Look how long it took Nip. It took Nip 16 years to get noticed, how he got noticed. And it take time for the real. Like, the way we put our work in and the way we work is just different from how other motherfuckers work. Other motherfuckers, somebody could wake up tomorrow and make a hit and be it be the number one song by tomorrow. Like, it just takes time for certain people. You feel me? Like he said, God timing is perfect timing. I live by that.
God's timing, divine timing, all of that. Being in this industry, you guys are two men out here, really out here putting in the work.
For sure.
You know, there's a lot of beef in the industry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But dudes don't really be paying attention to all the drama that's going on. But of course, it just happens because that's what makes, you know, things pop off. Yeah. How do you guys stay out of the way when it comes to, like, having rap beef and stuff like that?
This nigga be in the way.
No, because I seen something. You was talking about.
This nigga
I'm the best nigga out and all this.
That nigga said the only two talented niggas in L.A. is him and Blast.
I'm like,
well, that's his confidence, but that's not really
I'm supposed to feel like that. It started beef because niggas got in their feelings, but that's personal. That wasn't for me to sit back and, oh, this why I said this or that. No, I said what I said. Nigga, you supposed to be saying it. I ain't gonna sit back on the internet and hate on the next nigga for saying what he said. Any nigga supposed to big they self up if you don't.
Yeah, but see, look, like, it's a difference between, like, it's a difference between that. It's like, all right, for example, like, if you never knew me, never heard of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's another nigga from another city you never knew or never heard of. When you say that, it's like, you don't know how talented niggas is. You don't know who could produce their own shit, who play keys, who can mix and et cetera. So mind you, even though you're not saying it to be disrespectful to the people that you don't know, you still got to be mindful enough to know that, like, damn, when I make statements like this and I exclude one person and I add myself to the pot, I'm opening the door for these people to take it that way, if I don't mean it that way.
Even if I don't mean it that way, even if I never heard of you or heard your music, you can't take that no type of way.
You probably ain't gonna take it away because you just
right.
You just confident. Because
I'm not saying I'm not saying that somebody should take it.
On that topic, I'm gonna make you feel it because it's like I get what other people saying, but at the same time, you supposed to feel like that about yourself. I ain't singling nobody out. If a motherfucker singled they self out, just imagine this. Like you said, we underrated. I always felt like the outcast in this LA shit. Like, I always felt like the nigga that was counted out, or, like, you know, the one that's in mama and daddy house, you the one that don't nobody fuck with like that, but you really the star in this motherfucker. You gonna be the breadwinner of the family. That's how I feel in this industry shit. Motherfuckers look at me and my potential and they get scared and they don't fuck with me. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So I just don't fuck with niggas. That's just me, though.
But see, and then see, like, I feel you, though, but, like, that literally is, like, by definition, singling out. Because you singled yourself and another artist out.
Right. But I felt like this. I felt like this. If I would have never said Blast's name.
Uh-huh.
So imagine this. No, not even Blast. My name. Uh-huh. If I would have just said, oh, Blast, the most talented nigga. I feel like nobody would have said anything. The fact I put myself in it and said, and me, that was the big part of it. If it was never Spiffy involved in that, people would have felt the same way. Oh, Blast is one of the most genuine types. Oh, you added you. Nigga, who the fuck is you? We never heard of you. Oh, you this, you that. Y'all don't even know me. Y'all don't even take the time out to even.
Right, but see, that's
feel a nigga.
But I understand that. That's why I say two things could be true, because when you saying that, nigga, you don't know me. You don't know this artist. You don't know that artist. So when you say that, the same thing that could be said to you, you literally doing the same thing to others. I don't feel like your intention was bad, but I feel like the way that you delivered the message, it's like you watered down the message, because there is talent in LA that's not being seen. So if you feel like you that person in that room that niggas ain't looking at that way, even if you qualified, it's a lot of people feel that way. So if you one of them underdogs and you speaking for the underdogs, you can't shit on the underdog too. Mm. I'm talented as a motherfucker.
And now I ain't heard you.
You feel me?
You ain't got to hear him to know that he talented.
But,
right.
But
that's why he wasn't speaking.
Exactly.
Look, but, you're speaking
not you. You don't even have a microphone.
No, but you got to keep it 100, though.
Look, wait, hold on. She said, my man.
Oh, yeah, no.
No,
look. I hear you. I hear you and I respect it. I just feel like that's why, like, nobody wrong for having an opinion.
Man,
that's why I'm not.
Man, if Bino would have said that shit, well, nobody would have came at that nigga. If I could name a couple niggas, if them certain niggas would have said it,
right,
it wouldn't have been no feedback. It would have been like, hey, you right.
Right, and hey. But you know,
it was a fact.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree.
But see, but this last thing I say about it,
because
I'm not knocking what you're saying, because that could very much be true. Yeah. But what we talking about in reality, you said it, so people can only go off what they seen. You get what I'm saying? So that's why it becomes a conversation piece, which is why you did it the way you did it, for a conversation piece.
You knew.
So when you start the conversation,
woke niggas up that ain't never ever said that to me a day in their life.
Right.
I had niggas from. Ralphie was the first nigga to say something back to me.
Shout out my nigga Ralphie.
He the one who really sent the motherfucker up the roof that had every other artist Beanos, the Blue Bloods, the, and I'm not speaking on no niggas. I'm just saying everybody responded. It was a domino effect.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
Because everybody seen it.
I did it's something right.
Right.
I got you niggas to talk.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why a conversation go two ways, because everybody's opinion might not be the same. Like, I'm the type of person, I don't feel no type of way. I could see that shit and be like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, that's what you know, that's what you think. What your shit might not be for this person, might not be for the next person, just vice versa. You could have all the talent in the world, right, and niggas still don't want to hear you. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's true, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, at the end of the day, like, I didn't tell you that way, but since it came up.
It's like, I didn't know I had a voice like that. I didn't know the reaction was going to be so crazy.
Yeah.
You should have knew you had a voice like that when you did that freestyle and went viral and Boosie called you. Yeah. Okay, that domino effect happened there, right? You know who the fuck you are, that mouth with that mouth, though.
Now
pause.
I know.
Pause. But you know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I already knew you was going. Go ahead.
Okay, with that being said, at the beginning of January, you also said, it's time to give me my flowers for this shit. And that you was one of the hardest niggas out in L.A. Does that still stand? And have you received your flowers throughout this year?
Throughout this year, I've been getting my flowers. I've been standing on business and making niggas respect this shit.
Okay.
For real. Standing on business. And if you've seen the latest, you've seen I've been giving my flowers for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Are you still the hardest nigga in L.A.?
Very much.
Okay.
Good thing I'm from Carson, huh?
Hey! Well, when I said that, nigga should have categorized. They said, you heard what this man just said? Yeah. Good thing I'm from Carson. I said, I'm the hottest nigga in LA. So this tweet didn't belong to you just as well as Kaylin. I'm going to speak on a nigga because.
Nah, shout out my brother. Not too,
I
not
love
too much.
Kaylin.
Not too much.
Hold on.
Not too much
on
Kaylin. Not too much on Kaylin,
man. That's my blood cousin. Oh, yeah. Mama is my auntie. That's my mama's sister.
That's cool. I'm just letting the record
play. I'm just saying. He was one of the person that spoke on my tweet. But you say you from here. I'm talking about these LA streets that I done walked and been through the mud through.
Okay.
I done went to Crenshaw High School, graduated from that motherfucker, graduated from Audubon. I'm really from LA.
Mm-hmm.
Not from no different regions. I'm not from 30 minutes away, an mm-hmm. hour away. I'm really from the land. Crenshaw and Slauson. I walked every block. Can't nobody tell me I didn't.
I went to Crenshaw Church for about a week.
Oh my God.
I was back in West Hollywood, darling.
Hey, right.
I didn't know that tweet was going to come up.
Mm. Nigga, you know damn well it's going to come up every time you outside.
You just
nigga.
Us podcast.
Yeah, it's going to come up. Yeah, they got receipts.
Let's talk about manifestations, because also in January you had an interview and you was talking about how you performed at the Roxy,
uh-huh.
and you said you want to check off your list,
uh-huh.
and you added Peppermint Club on yeah. that thing, and you just sold out the Peppermint Club.
Yeah.
It was you brought out KC Veggies.
Yeah.
It was I seen so many people from Carson. You brought yeah. people on stage. It was yeah. love in the
that
building.
G Perico, Zoe Summer.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How that come about?
Man, what's crazy is like one of the A&Rs up at Atlantic, he be throwing these showcases at the Peppermint Club. Shout out to Hawk Money. And I did a couple of them, and he wanted me to do one in November, but it happened to be like the same week of like some family shit,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So I'm like, when I double back, I'm like, man, like, can we do another one, but like a pay one?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, if you want to. I'm like, yeah, I just want at least a month to promote it.
Yeah.
So they told me originally like a date I could have. I waited like a week for them to confirm the date. And the date I wanted, I couldn't get it. It was a Thursday, but they gave me Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got it, I announced it. I had a less than a month or whatever. So I was already a little frustrated about it. 2 weeks into selling the tickets, they changed the date. Like, you gotta do it Thursday now. I'm like, damn. So I'm like, I don't know what's finna happen. I'm like, I didn't change the date. It's close to Christmas. It hit that like week and a half before the show.
Mm-hmm.
That shit just started selling.
I saw videos of the line was wrapped around.
Man,
you got your family out there, everybody. I'm like, damn, you are fucking loved.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you don't know how much love you got till you step outside. And that's why it's like.
And you had never sold tickets to a show before, right?
Never. Never. I'm talking about like not for my own show.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I did the Roxy, it was like, it was my release show for my project Read the Room. And I'm like, it was like some RSVP type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we still hit capacity. But hitting capacity for free is like, you know, I know y'all got to pay for parking and drive, but
right.
it don't feel the same as just selling a hard ticket. But the Peppermint Club is like, we really sold them tickets without having a big record or I didn't put nobody else's name. It was myself. It was Airplane James, the homie Bell, and Jay Million. And it was like, none of us are just crazy names or nothing like that. But to be able to sell that shit out was like super humbling. And it made me really put back in focus, like, damn, you might not know how many people fuck with you till you looking in them comments and somebody like, damn, I drove out here from Stockton, but I'm only 20 and couldn't get in, and I drove back, and I'm getting a DM like, I drove out here from San Diego to see you. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a crazy feeling because you might not be in the limelight or the forefront and have all the numbers or have a record that just everybody know, but, you know, you got to just really just fuck with who fuck with you.
Absolutely. And Spiffy, what's up with this slum baby juice? What's up with this slum baby juice, and why didn't we get any?
Damn, if I had it prepared, I would have brought it.
That's kind of crazy.
So how you feel about me doing you one?
I would like that.
Yeah.
It's got to be red for sure.
Got to be red.
Mm-hmm. Sweet and like a little
they
sour in it.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to be the biggest thing on the market, though. We finna do it big with it.
No, she didn't say that.
No, but how did that come about?
Shit, one day I was just kicking it and just had something on my mind. Matter of fact, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. We just gonna keep it right. I almost lied.
God, oh, okay.
No. Matter of fact, I ain't almost lied. That was what I did. I was kicking it and came up with something that I really wanted to do, and it was that, right?
Okay.
But it had a lot to do with this other company called Exotic Pop.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I don't know if they want you to have a big name. I don't know what it had to be for them to make you a juice, but I stayed on their ass. Let me get a juice. Let me make money. And they always hitting me back. Oh, we going to get at you. Oh, I could show you right now. And always just leaving me on stuck. I'm like, damn, I'm never going to get a motherfucking juice, but you doing everybody else shit. Mm. And every time I bump into y'all and see y'all,
it's love.
Y'all, oh, Spiffy, and this, and this, and that. And then, oh, we got you, and this, and that. Going away, don't hear from you, don't da-da-da. All right, bet, I'm finna blow you niggas out the water. I got some crazy shit in my mind. And I came up with Slim Baby Juice, and it's actually way harder than they shit, if you ask me.
Okay. I'm excited to try some of this.
Yeah, for
I love
sure.
A good juice.
Yeah.
I love to ask artists, you know, what are their vibes in the studio to prepare, but I'm gonna switch it. What is your preparation for when you know you're gonna have a show? You gotta go out there and mentally prepare yourself to go out there and put on a good show. Do you guys get anxiety? Do you guys need to drink before, smoke your blunt?
Do you need drink? You need wig?
No, but you did Sexy Red Show. So what was your preparation for that?
Because
that's a big show and it was sold out.
I had the boo boo. Soon as I got right there and I seen her going to seen the stomach and all that, I'm this close. I'm like, oh shit, it's really real. I had to use the bathroom. That was my anxiety.
But how did you prepare?
I ain't prepared. I went, sat on the toilet, prayed, did my shit. That's how I prepared.
You prepared. With a good shit.
Uh-huh. With a good shit.
Washed his hands and he went out there and
did you wash your hands?
Washed my hands
didn't say that.
I had to touch the mic.
Okay. Okay. How do you prepare?
Like day of, like before you going on the stage, for sure, prayer. For sure. Like definitely prayer, but throughout the week, just rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Rehearsing. I try to like, if I'm like moving around, I try to rap because I don't perform with like the song behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I use like the TV track. So like I try to like, while I'm walking around and stuff, like rap my lyrics right there because you know that you're able to say them if you wind it.
Right.
Feel me? So I try to just prepare, get my breathing right and all that type of shit. But day of, definitely just praying and just trying to really just block out the bush and have fun with it,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm really hands-on in a lot of the stuff we do, so a lot of shit be, like, stressful. Like, day of, motherfuckers calling you, texting you, like, the Peppermint Club. Like, I was selling tickets for, like, a month.
Mm.
When that shit sold out, it was niggas that I grew up with hitting me like, man, we need 2 tickets, we need 4 tickets, we need...
Last minute.
You know, the last minute shit while I'm trying to mentally prepare.
I ain't winning nothing like that yet.
Yeah.
I know, though.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that shit is tricky. But it's different, though, like... With the Peppermint Club being my show and selling it out, it's that feeling of, I know these people came to see me. Like, I toured with Beano, like, opening for Beano, and this his crowd, it's not my crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So the preparation, of course, you still praying, but you mentally preparing to make sure you humble enough to not, if you're not received well, because they didn't come to see you, they came to see Beano or whoever else you opening up for, mm-hmm. you know? So doing your own show and doing somebody else's show is a little different. When you know it's your crowd, like shit, it's
easy.
Like being at home. You done kick your shoes off, put them motherfuckers on the table. You know, it's a little different.
Well, it's time to have some fun. Let's loosen up a little bit.
Sure.
So we gonna play Out of the Box.
Cut.
Out of the Box. box. So these questions right here, they get a little personal. They get a little freaky deaky. So just try to answer, you know, to the best of your ability. How many is in here?
Probably about six, but y'all it's probably two each. So let's shake it up.
Do two each or three each. All right. Yes, yeah, time to get there. Take it there.
You're gonna need that shot for sure.
Absolutely.
Suit you got for me. Ooh. So you both just grab two of them?
No, just get one at a time.
One at a time.
You read it out loud and you answer that thing.
I know this shit about to be some bullshit.
And don't be trying to look through them.
I didn't. I can't see good.
What do you think is killing relationships these days? Instagram.
Okay. And how is that?
Motherfucker seeing other people's life and how they living and what
they're doing.
Happen for them like that. Seeing other people's relationships. Because I'm one of them ones. I look at Instagram and see other people's relationships and just thinking it's all goody two-shoes. Mm-hmm. And it probably ain't because I know mine's don't be. But my shit's straight. But Instagram killing it.
You got it straight. She's
Instagram killing it. And then just besides like the internet or anything, just like on some you and her personal shit, like it could be like some selfishness. Some people be selfish. Like some people only put themselves in they shoes and not the next people that could be killing it. And it could be a lot of things.
Okay, what you got for us, Cash?
Yeah, I had to
switch. Why is you
Nah, because this didn't apply.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, what happened?
What was wrong with that one? Yeah. He gonna pass it. What you put in there?
I don't know.
These been in. You put these in here this week?
No, they been in there marinated like chicken.
Yeah, like.
What is for a female, right?
Right.
It was probably just snuck in there.
Oh, we had some in there from last time, but we tried to take most of them out.
I think this one is like crazy. For a female because it said like, have you had sexual intercourse with a female before? Like,
what does that one say?
Fuck nah, man. I ain't even.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, did I put the?
He, I think he done did the wrong thing.
Oh no. No.
Oh yeah, no. Okay, just go ahead and get another.
Get
one.
Get another one.
Okay. This shit is not going.
There
well.
We go. It's gonna go right now.
Okay.
How is your life different today than it was a year ago?
Okay, there we go. Woo.
I'm not a liar no more.
What you used to lie about?
Dumb shit. Lying to myself. Lying to my woman.
So, wait. So, y'all in relationships?
Man.
Who?
Why y'all don't post y'all girls?
Well, I do post mine. You missed it?
Yep.
Go on my page?
It is. Was it recent?
Yeah, go down to like the four things because I'm promoting right now.
Don't try to act like you did.
It's right there. It's like the last picture I posted. You see me holding my niece and my mama.
Pants. You're not
white and with the blue airbrush.
Okay.
All right, keep sliding.
Who gonna?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
What?
It ain't too much of my. It ain't too much of my personal life. You
don't see the picture.
You think niggas really finna slide? Like, I ain't gonna even slide.
You gonna fuck around?
People done sent me. Nah, cause like.
Oh, did he? Well,
everybody in your life getting signed up to be in this shit. You feel me?
Okay, okay.
And it's a lot that come with this shit. Like, I posted my grandma on a date, like, on the anniversary of her dying. Somebody just randomly DM'd me, like, she resting in piss, her dead ass.
What?
Yeah, like
what?
But you gotta remember, it's people trolling, so it's like, you know, I think about that when I post people I care about, like people close to me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah. I definitely gotta find a balance because I think sometimes when people can't see your narrative, they write it themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they know and be loud and wrong.
How many kids y'all got?
I got one.
Hello.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah. Okay.
Big dedicated, you know.
Yeah.
That threw me off. I was listening to what he was saying.
My daughter turned this week.
That's what's up.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, definitely.
Birthday princess.
Yeah, that's sweet. Spiffy, what's going on? Like you glitching.
Let me see the box.
It's this question.
What is it?
Y'all not really making it fun right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, answer that.
It's a would you rather eat ass or suck toes or both?
Well.
Both.
Oh.
You're a freak.
Okay. like my girl suck. I mean, you got a girl. I'm just saying, you know.
I mean, I ain't did either yet, but I wouldn't mind.
Wow. You ain't suck no toes? Mm. And you ain't no ass?
Not yet.
Oh. Well, how old are you?
Maybe today's today.
28.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, you young. Mm. Keep going.
It said, in what area in your life do you feel you need to apply discipline and consistency?
Mm, you getting them good motherfuckers.
I think
he pulling them pink bitches. Right.
Yeah. I think I gotta apply discipline and just, you know, sometimes you know better but don't do better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to really apply that discipline in that in all aspects from like my career to my personal life and be consistent in that. You know, like sometimes I be out of pocket breaking my own code, you know? And part of being a man is knowing when you out of pocket and putting yourself back in check, but I got to be consistent with standing on what I stand on.
That's right. You know. Okay.
I want to ask you guys one more question because you guys are both in relationships. Getting too close to somebody else's significant other, right? Not necessarily you guys.
Lord.
But like, there was a situation where, like, there was a couple, and then the girl went to the bathroom.
And then her homegirl was all up on her dude. Like, we all sitting around seeing it, and she all next to him and stuff. But, like, when she was out here next to him, you was like this. And all of a sudden, y'all just...
He cracking jokes that are not funny, and this bitch is laughing like she dying. Like,
right? How do y'all feel about y'all sitting there, like, getting close to niggas that are homies? And, like, what's up with that?
I don't even want my bitch outside, for real.
Oh, yeah? She got to come to the club with you or nothing?
Nah, we could go to the club together and shit, but just... We could go anywhere and hang out together and be around the homies, but just being up on people and being outside in the world by yourself, and I don't deal too well with strangers.
Like, okay.
I don't like people. My bitch can't be around people.
Yeah, I think Jeezy Obama said this shit. Like, I'm not the type of nigga that call my...
It's real.
You feel me? That really be using like that. But he said, like, I think he said, I don't really like friendly bitches. I like rude bitches. Like, I'm not...
I felt Jeezy on that one.
Hey, look, that's my favorite rapper in L.A., Jeezy Obama from the Blue Bucks.
He hard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, because he be, like, having some quotables. I don't like that shit. I don't like that friendly shit. Buddy, buddy, that nigga cool and all that shit. Like, I don't like that shit.
I hate a fucking happy face, smiley face ass.
Girls that want to kick around rappers and all that type of shit. Like,
I'm too much of a nigga in the world. You can't do none of that.
Kicking around rappers, all that type of, like, come on, man, I'm cool. Shame
you shouldn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
Try to be seen, try to be a pick me. It's not giving that.
Yeah,
never
all
that,
of
so.
The videos, sit down dancing.
And go to bed.
My goodness.
Okay, well. Okay, go ahead.
Yo, hella funny.
Go ahead.
It say, have you ever had sex with one of your ex's friends to get revenge? Hell no.
Ooh.
I wish I did so I could have a story to tell you, but I
don't. Right, right.
This would never happen.
Okay, okay.
That's
Cash,
weird.
You looking like you thinking about it.
That's weird.
Nah.
You sure?
You have?
Nah. I gotta.
Nah.
I think Cash did.
Nah, no.
But Cash, I gotta, buddy, what you do?
Nah, it ain't even me. I got a homie, though, that, man, it don't be a nigga exes, but he be like, you remember old girl? Yeah, he be like, yeah, nigga, I knew you wouldn't be tripping, but shit, yeah, you know, shit, nigga would have did that. I got a hard boy that be trying to, you know.
No, look, it say, have you ever had sex with one of your exes?
Oh.
One of your ex-girlfriend's friends for revenge?
Nah, I don't, damn.
Nigga don't even play like
nigga
that.
Nigga don't even really have no exes like that.
Singing.
Yeah, that too. That too. No. I don't even really got an ex like that for real either.
Okay. So right now, since we got to wrap it up, we finna do Off the Dribble.
Okay.
So I have some questions that I thought of that I'm going to ask and just answer fast, like bop, bop, bop.
Okay.
Okay. You go first, Spiffy, then Cash, you go after.
So I put that on the end of it.
Okay, back to what I said, though.
Yeah,
so
what you
who
say?
Is, what's some go-to R&B for you?
Anita Baker.
Okay.
You?
Usher.
Oh, Usher.
A couple people.
Okay.
I'm R&B type nigga.
Yeah, I mostly listen to that. I listen to Lucky Day a lot.
Mm.
My homegirl Ombre, she over at Rock Nation. I listen to Kenyon Dixon. Lucky Day was my favorite. Giveon too.
Mm, okay.
I listen to a lot of that shit though.
You wanna ask one? You gonna make up your own. What's one thing that you would change about the industry?
All these fake niggas in it.
Okay.
selfish motherfuckers in it. Okay. I'll change that part.
I'll change Hollywood talk. Mm. You know, like, somebody will see, y'all be like, I want you on my podcast. And they be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. For sure, I'm going to do it. And they never do it. That should be Hollywood.
All that
talk.
Fake shit.
Last night.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you that verse. I'm going to do it. Already. That's Hollywood that's talk. Fake shit. I'll delete that
right.
shit.
Oh, what?
Right.
I'd rather you be blunt and say no.
I'm Let good. Me know, for real. I can handle no.
Right.
Tell me
right.
no.
Facts, yeah.
What are two you guys' favorite, like, hood spots to go to eat? You guys got, like, a whole wall, mom and pop?
Mama's Chicken.
Well, I was going to say that. Ooh.
That's right there in the district. Mama's Chicken for sure. And shit. Like Mike's Deli or something.
Mm. Fred's. Fred's, yes.
I'd say like, I mean, I guess it probably wouldn't count, but like Louisiana Fried Chicken for sure. Depending on which one you go to.
The one off University?
That's the best one.
Come on now.
Yeah, what? Carson got the best Louisiana they Fried do. Chicken.
Oh, and speaking of that, shout out, I told my boy, you know Kev at
Dale's Liquor.
I told him that you was going to be on a podcast today. Yeah. And I said, we're going to shout you out.
Yeah, shout out my boy Kev.
Yes. He got my pictures up in there. Have you seen him?
Nah, I haven't. Well, I got some
girl. Bye.
Man. I ain't been up in there in a little minute. Okay. I'll be in and out. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, then the Louisiana off Normandy that everybody be going to.
I never been to that one. With
the they had put a Bill's Taco in Compton
with the
too.
Roaches. That oh, shit okay. fire.
I ain't gonna lie. It's one on the north side of Long Beach by the Carmelitos. That's fire too. You know, okay. I'm that's my side of town.
Do y'all feel like y'all actually have support from LA? Is this where your biggest support comes from? LA, Carson. Do y'all feel like y'all get the support from where you from?
I feel like I get it in other places more.
Same. That's how we feel. Yep.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Because we out here, but our fan base is big in New York, Atlanta, Chicago. LA is like last on the list.
Yeah, that's what
and that's crazy to me.
LA last on the list.
We get a lot of love when we go out for like the podcast, but like the people that actually like really support, comment, watch.
Show up to our stuff. Like,
it's
tricky though. Yeah, you got to remember like, for one, most people out here know you. So that support be a little different. Mm-hmm. They not looking at it like, it's dire to just jump on it now because they know you. They see you around. They're like, okay, I'll get to that when I it's
too personal.
Get to, you know?
Yeah.
And you know,
they don't
everybody
look at us
knows.
Like stars because we...
They look at you how they looked at you in fifth grade.
Like
yeah.
You know what I mean? They still looking really at you how they used to see you.
And you but so then, chill when they come up to you.
Right.
Like, it's like, what's up, sis? You want a drink? Like, it's...
Right.
But then you got to also remember, though, LA County, like 9 million people. You feel me? So it's like, it's a part of LA County where you could be... Cracking that, you go to another city and nobody know you. Go to this city, everybody know you. It's like LA big as a motherfucker. It's so much shit here.
Despite adversity and everything like that, what keeps you guys going?
Every day.
Even when you have a bad day, the days you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like going
my
to
my daughter.
Want to
show
up. Yeah. Mm.
My daughter.
Prayer. Okay. I pray to God every morning I wake up. Yeah. I try to embrace life and celebrate life like a nigga breathing. Like too much death going on around a nigga.
Yeah.
I owe my daughter everything, like, for real. So I just be feeling like, man, if I don't really step, like, that's not fair to her for all the times that I'm away or times that I'm busy or I'm in the studio late and can't see you or I'm out of town or whatever the case may be. It's like, I got to make this shit really happen. I don't want her to grow up like I did, you know? Hand-me-downs, all that type of shit. Like, she ain't gonna know that.
Right. Yeah, my son ain't gonna see none of that or my stepkids or my new kids. He ain't gonna see
kids.
None.
How many is that?
Two.
Jesus Christ.
He said, or my stepkids or my new kids.
Christ. That's bad.
I mean, that's three altogether. I mean, that's
you want kids?
She has no, and I don't. Everybody knows that. Nope. And I got rid of two. You know, I cannot do that.
Oh, you killed people before.
Damn, double homicide.
That was a blood clot.
You feel you
it was a blood. No, it was a blood clot. You know, I just don't want to bring no kid in this world. I don't want to have to stay home. I like to be outside. No.
For real.
Yeah, it's very selfish about
kids.
Me.
I love kids. you know, I used to say, no, I don't want kids, but honestly.
You open to it?
I'm open to it, but yeah.
You going to have a female?
Absolutely not. I would definitely, I mean, I would give my seed to.
Not hit like hit, but hit like hit.
No, I'm not having sex with a female.
So how the fuck you going
to
have a
female? you can give your seed to your. To
you
the,
know how much that is?
I don't care about how much it is.
Oh, you're a millionaire. I forgot. Sorry.
I'm not a millionaire. Sorry, you already know my situation.
So you going to give. Wait.
Come in a cup.
So you going to give your kid to.
It's
hotter
here.
You know,
my it's
got
a little hotter.
It is hot. She bake it in the oven. I'm not having sex with a female. Absolutely not. If that doesn't work out, then I can adopt. If that doesn't work out, I'll get a dog, and my dog will be my son or my daughter.
And you go pushing.
I have nieces and nephews, so I'm blessed. But no, I don't. You guys know, I'm you know not with the girls.
Yeah.
Not.
You didn't know that. Don't act like you didn't know that.
That nigga say you not.
No, women are so beautiful, but you know, I love men.
It's fair to say. You acting so sick right now.
Like you didn't know.
I knew, but damn. I don't
Oh, you're not used to that talk being around.
Yeah, no.
Well,
he thought. Have you ever dealt with women? Like, blunt with it.
Okay. Yeah, one time. One and done.
He's standing on
one and done. Yeah, I couldn't do that to a woman.
She love you. Look.
Right. Yeah, I tell it like it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I had sex with a girl before one time.
She gave loved him an STD.
She did. She loved it. I didn't like it. I don't.
She gave you an STD?
Yeah. But I asked for the STD because me and my cousin ran the train on her. It wasn't even.
Oh, you asked for it?
No, I didn't really ask for it. But you know what I mean? If somebody's running a train on a girl without a condom, what you expect?
So, and that was your only time you ever fucked a female?
Yes. One time in the bush for 2 seconds.
First time.
First time.
You never fucked with one after that.
Never again. And it wasn't because, no, it wasn't even because of the STD that I caught. I'm literally addicted. Like, I love men. I love men.
I understand.
That's just me, period. So there ain't nothing else about it. You love women.
Yeah.
Right. The same passion you have about girls, big titties, big ass. Like, that's my girl right there. That bitch can get it. That's how I feel about dead on the dead homies. That's how I feel about niggas. And that's just that.
That's your narrative. I respect your narrative.
Woo, that's and he that said on what that. I said, period.
But like, I'm big on that.
I'm on business on that way.
I love that.
So you gotta
my glasses are falling all the way out.
She cried. Yeah.
You gotta live and let live, man. Like, what somebody else do is
and that's business. It.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's their
business. I'm going to stick beside them. Do y'all shit.
I'm going to stick beside them. You never change back? Like, are you a
I was never even there. I had an experience with a girl. No, I don't like women. Period. That's it, and that's all.
So, can I flip the script and ask you a question? Mm-hmm. So, do you have like male friends that act like different with you in public? Like,
me?
Because
Oh no, what? My homies love me. I get them all the pussy. What you talk about?
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you something. And you're welcome, men out there, because a lot of my homeboys get girls because of me. Ladies love Jacob.
Yeah.
Right. So they be like,
Hey,
yo, bro,
go
holler at that girl for me. I'm like, of course, because she's a queen. So I'm going to tell y'all know how to talk to her. So yeah. I'm going to handle that. I'm going to bring her to you, and then y'all can make it happen.
You know, a lot of people not secure in their masculinity, so they be
I hang around real men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hang around real men, who know who they are and don't got to worry about, you know, you're hanging out with Jacob. No, because when I walk into the room, I'm with big niggas. You know, I'm like, what's up? Because I'm going to fight just like they going to fight. I'm going to ride just like they going to ride.
Right.
I don't need them to help me find a dude. I can do that on my own.
Yeah.
And I don't act like, you know, I don't always flip my hair. I don't be twerking in the club. I keep it playing. Yeah. I know when to act. Like, I know how to act.
Nah,
and I know how to respect a man. So, yeah, my sexuality, who I sleep with at night, doesn't define me as a man. So, I don't really care about
that's
all that
right.
extra.
Same shit. I feel the same way. That's why
I'm
that same person. Like, I'm not, you know, some people be like, they be cool with somebody in private and then public try to act like funny stuff because mm-hmm. they care what somebody else thinks. That shit.
Yeah, it's just a preference.
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah, that shit weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ain't gonna stop me from getting bread.
That part.
Look, it ain't gonna stop straight niggas from sitting on the couch and, you know, talking that shit.
I know. I just seen you the other day.
Yeah.
I
was like, what the hell? We outside.
I see manager every day.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. He just like that. He don't give a fuck.
Yeah, hell no.
He don't give a fuck. And he gonna talk to you like that. He gonna be him though.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And niggas like us just we gotta respect it. Like we don't got nothing against you.
We ain't looking at y'all niggas. Like we just vibing.
I think that'd be people misconception. They be thinking like just cause somebody gay, they looking at them like nigga probably even
nigga, nobody ain't paid attention to you, crusty. Right. And I'm very respectful. And this is not even because I'm gay. As a man, just my morals.
Yeah.
I don't look at it. As soon as a man says he's straight, that's it. Right. I'm not going to try to flirt with you. I'm not going to try to do any gestures. That's it. Even if somebody has like a significant other, you know what I mean? They still trying to flirt. No, I don't mess with married people or people that have a girlfriend, a boy. Right. I don't do that. Yeah. I don't do that. I'm very respectful.
No, I respect that.
Right. Yeah. And you know that. Right.
I agree. You
right.
Like,
no, I know you agree, but I'm just saying, you
absolutely,
know it.
Absolutely, yeah. Firsthand. Yeah, you
how
not like
you
that?
How did you build that confidence, though?
Knowing who I am. You got to know who you are. Just like you're in the industry and you feel like you're the baddest.
The hardest nigga in L.A.?
Nigga in L.A.
Yeah.
You got to understand, I'm on a podcast with somebody that's respected in L.A.
Yeah.
It came out of the goat's mouth. Boosie said it himself on the 85 Southwest show. Was that it? Spiffy, the hardest nigga in there. He's just hard. You hard, nigga. That nigga hard. Yeah, if they're coming out of Boosie.
That's right.
It don't even got to come out of Boosie. You wake up in the morning knowing who the fuck you are. Fuck all that. I don't need validation.
Yeah.
You don't need validation from anybody because you got to understand, people know who the fuck Amber is,
yeah.
right? And when I walk into rooms with her, people are looking at Amber.
For sure.
They're looking at Amber. And I can't be like, oh, you know, they're looking at her and I'm over here in the corner. No, because they love Jacob too.
Right.
Because I know who I am and I walk in a room with the same confidence. You got to just be confident in this shit. That's not real. For the weak. If it's weak, stay home.
Exactly. Please.
Sit your ass down for real.
Right. That's I don't see validation for nobody but God. Ooh, he love me.
Woo! Okay, so with you giving all that good energy, amen. I need to know what's one powerful lesson that 2023 has taught y'all?
2023 taught me.
Because this has been a hectic year. I don't know about y'all, but this shit has tore me out.
2023 just taught me just not to trust people. Not to put your expectations into too many people.
All right.
Once you put your expectations on me, it's like, I'm me. I don't know when I'm going to fuck up or not do something right or no. You feel me? Everybody make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you learn that even just dealing with somebody in a relationship. You're going to make a mistake. Not going to go fuck somebody. That's not a mistake. You going to go fuck somebody. You full aware and knowing what you're doing. You pulling your clothes off.
Yeah.
You got to put your clothes back on and hit your spouse back up and go back. You know what you're doing. So that's not a mistake.
Ooh.
But yeah, you get me.
Okay, that was it right there.
I feel you. I feel like I learned a lot of lessons, a lot of valuable lessons this year. I feel like one of the most important ones that I'm learning and accepting is that everything is subject to change. Like at any given moment, like anything could happen within your life, somebody close to you, like everything is subject to change. Like I feel like the most consistent thing in my life has been change. Like every day, it might be somebody that you used to talk to every day that now you don't talk to no more. It used to be some shit you like, you don't like no more. Some shit you used to be into, now it's just not even.
It's like everything in, oh, that's time go.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Things are growing.
So you have to learn how to adapt to those changes. And that's something I'm working on.
Name your newest projects that you have out right now.
I just dropped an exclusive with SoundCloud called Non-Negotiable. So that's the chapter of my life right now. Like, I feel like I've been compromising on a lot of shit and I've been dealing with a lot of shit that I probably shouldn't have. So, like, I know who I am. Like you said, I know who I am. I know what I'm standing on and my change is non-negotiable.
I just dropped a project with Boosie, Two of America's Most Wanted.
That's right.
It's out now.
That's a perfect name.
It's really real. And I just feel like shit. I achieved and accomplished something niggas go kill a nigga for. They have an album with Boosie.
Yeah. Right.
That's a LA hood nigga dream. Like, I just did an album with Boosie, not a song, not just a video. Nigga, two handful of videos, two handful of music. Like, nigga, I just did the impossible.
Right.
You feel me?
Congratulations to the both of you guys. And I wanted you guys to name your projects because I'm going to put them down in the description box. And our viewers, I need you guys to go stream. I need you to stream every song. Even that old shit. Go and stream it.
Shout out to Read the Room.
For real, I was about to say. Yeah, go check out Read the Room.
Yes.
That's on all streaming platforms.
Yep.
And what was your last one called?
Two of America's Most Wanted. The one with Boosie.
No, the other one before. It's like Burial.
It was Buried Emotions.
Okay, Buried Emotions. That's the one.
But it got snatched down, though. How do you know that?
I have to go into research.
So it's still up.
I saw something that said that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was up for a minute, you know. Yeah. I had like 20 songs on that motherfucker.
Right.
And it was only problems with certain producers, but like the main problem I had, I dropped a song that I did with Draco on there. Yeah. And his brother got it snatched down. So he had his people emailing and, you know, Boosie and all that. Like, we was going through some shit. Niggas was trying to sue us and all that.
If we
didn't take the song down. So if we didn't take the song down within this amount of days, we gonna have the whole album took down and we didn't take it down. They took my whole album down and it never got put back up.
Rest in peace, Draco. Huh? Sorry.
Yeah, still 5 songs from that album up. And I still got like 5-10 unreleased songs by Draco that I'm still gonna release. Under nobody consent. And the album I did before that one, because that one got took down, it was called Unappreciated. That was the first album I dropped with Boosie.
Okay.
Like, that was the first project. When I signed to him, that was the first project we put out. And it did like 1 million views, like plays in like that first week. Like, it went viral. So then he wanted to do a project with me after that.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Well, shout out to both of y'all. You know, I love what y'all doing. I'm loving the freestyles in the backseat of the car. They fire as fuck.
I gotta go check
out my new favorite film.
Bitch, you never heard him. Please go fuck with my boy, please.
Shout out my Courage, man. Like, my shooter, Courage, favorite films, man. We went We did like 40 weeks straight dropping a content piece every Friday. We just getting back, just trying different things, mm-hmm. trying to just, you know, recreate different things. I mean, so sure. Shout out to my dog.
Y'all should always look HD and real good. So,
oh, yeah.
Shout out to him.
You got a joint going up right now, too.
You be seeing it?
I be seeing it. Go tiny. Come on now.
That's your shit, right?
Yeah, me and the homie.
Oh, you going crazy.
Yeah.
Creeping down your block, I don't see no eyes. Tiny. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out my nigga Tiny.
Okay, I'm, for
one
real.
One of your hosts, Jacob Willis.
It's your girl, Just Living Baby.
And we'll see you in episode
38.
Shout out to both of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank y'all you.
The truth.